Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we go on a mission together. Not as assassins out to execute somebody, but to break into hearts and to shoot him with hope and inspiration. Boom! Just like that. Just like that. A John Wick of love.
Two questions, Hardy.
Okay, shoot.
First, what's a cubit?
Oh, I know that one. It's the length from your fingertip to your elbow. In the Bible, when God gives instructions to Noah for the construction of the ark, it's the unit of measurement he mentions.
Oh, I thought it was the basic unit of quantum information, and that the story in the Bible was actually about a future event in which a person named Noah builds a 300-cubit quantum computer, and that the word ark in Hebrew, teba, actually refers to the shape of that computer. But I'll go with your definition.
I think it's spelled...
And another thing, was the universe created 5 minutes ago the way it was 5 minutes ago?
Oh, I've heard that one before.
When?
In the past sometime.
How do you know?
I just had a memory.
And when did you retrieve that memory?
Just now.
Okay.
But come on, we know the universe is very, very old.
I know, right? How old?
Well, I forget. Let me look it up. 14 billion years.
Wow, it doesn't feel it.
Well, it is.
I'm sure. I remember you telling me that just now.
That fact existed before, though.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
What don't you doubt? You're probably wrong.
I don't doubt that the universe wasn't just created 5 minutes ago.
Actually, it was created 2 minutes and 17 seconds ago.
Come on, Butchie. How can that be? Don't listen to him, Lou. He's being irrational. Use your brain.
Ha! I'm pretty sure it's not true, but when my grandma had dementia, she thought lots of things weren't true and thought some things true that weren't. Her whole world changed. The assumptions under which she operated changed, and so did she.
That's about memory, though.
What isn't about memory?
But we all remember some things, like, Hello, Larry.
The McLean-Stevenson sitcom? Oh, I remember that.
How could we all have the same wrong memory?
Maybe you're the one remembering it and just imagining us.
That's absurd.
What if the whole universe was just a radio play that started a few minutes ago, like maybe 3 minutes and 40 seconds ago?
That's a crazy thought.
And that it's a reflection of another reality that is similar, but also a fiction. An infinite recursive thought in the mind of God.
We ourselves are just memories.
Bingo.
That's crazy. You're both crazy. Anyway, I have better things to do than sit around and think myself into non-existence.
It is existence. It's just a different quality than you think.
Okay, I have things to do.
Do you really believe all that, Butch?
Nah, I'm just trying to annoy Hardy so he'll leave and go buy more coffee, because I don't feel like shopping.
I'm headed out. You guys need anything?
Yeah, pick up coffee.
Got it.
Can I go with you?
Sure, Lou. Lou, could you hold my cup? There's no cup holder.
I'll be the cup holder. Cup holder sounds like a surname, like breadwinner.
I'm not sure that's a surname.
I have a third question for you.
Go ahead.
Well, Butchie said I'm actually dead and that you went into the past and got me from a past time and now I've been here so long I forgot. Am I really dead in the future?
Well, we're all dead in the future.
I mean, you already saw it, though.
Lou,
how did I die?
You know I can't tell you, and you don't want to know. Listen, when we started time traveling, you agreed to the rules, and that's a big rule.
Time is weird.
Time is weird.
Time is weird.
Yeah, you already said that.
I know, just now.
No, I mean twice.
Time is weird.
There, you said it again.
What?
Time is weird.
Isn't it, though?
Are you saying that phrase a lot, or is there some looping?
Maybe. Time is weird.
I think you're looping. I knew it was a mistake trying to bring you back.
So I am dead?
No. Yes and no.
How can it be yes and no?
Lou, you are... You know how you were the only one who isn't someone else in other universes?
Yeah, like Butch's Mo and some other people, and you were George Howe and Dave somebody.
Yeah. Well, you are a sort of superposition character. You exist and don't exist, and are the sum of that overlap. Oh, I'm telling you too much.
Go on.
So, you're like Zero.
I am Zero. Like the sword guy with the mask.
No. Zero, the number.
Oh. I think maybe that's cool. Also, I have both a lot of questions and no more questions. So, just glad to be here. Also, I think I have to work tomorrow since my boss is not philosophically or mystically inclined.
Oh, well, how is work?
Like, in general, laborious. My specific job is also laborious, but Larry makes it fun.
Oh, I think I met him.
Yeah, every morning I say, "Hello, Larry," and he says, "Hello, Lou, sir." It's supposed to sound like loser.
Oh, that doesn't sound very nice.
No, he means it in a funny way. We kid each other. You gotta do stuff to help time pass, even though I don't really want it to pass because I fear death. So I try to savor it like it's a foul-tasting candy.
Oh, I think I get that.
Time moves at different speeds relative to pain.
Indeed.
Cut. Butchie, what are you doing? I gotta interrupt here before you two veer off into spooky-wooky mumbo-jumbo land.
Spooky-wooky mumbo-jumbo world. Land is in California.
Yes, we all die in the future. Yes, the whole world might be some weird shadow world. But the fact is, you're experiencing something, and it's real enough, brother.
That's true. My neck hurts, and my brother really was super challenged.
Pain is real. Love is real. And the number one truth is coffee is real, and we're out, and you're not getting it fast enough. So can you end it with the dorm room philosophy and low-rent sci-fi and get me some damn coffee? Your yins are gonna pay.
Uh-oh. He went all Pittsburgh on us.
This is the Emperor Hadrian, and we just heard a cut from Hardy White and the Third Question, Rational Thought in a Universe of Disappearing Information. Welcome to Hadrian's Wall. I'll be playing music and spoken word designed to erect barriers between people for the purposes of control and power. Emperor Hadrian, tear down that wall and build another wall. A lot of people don't realize that the rings of Saturn are actually an absurdly large wall extending into space.
J'interrupt. I interrupt this program, breaking through a wall like a pitcher of sugar drink, destroying the barriers between us, uniting humankind, liberating us from those who would control our minds and spirits. And how do I demolish walls, or better yet, undermine them? Using questions, just the way they do in science fiction when they make robots' head explodes with a paradoxical question. I practically majored in questions. I failed, but I was consistent. I thought I was doing well in algebra, for instance. All the tests seemed to have, not questions, but Jeopardy-like answers, which I thought required a response in the form of a question. So when I saw solve for X, I assumed the response was, what is something I do not know? But they didn't want honesty. They just wanted me to regurgitate the, if you know the answers, why did you ask? All I have are questions, my friend. How are you? And then you ask me how I am, and I say, why do you ask? And we go on like that. It's like, whose line is it anyway? And you have to respond in a question. I find that answers change all the time. I don't know what I believe half the time, but I do have questions. What is this? And I like rhetorical questions. I always say something's a rhetorical question so you don't feel pressured to answer. You don't have to answer. You can just hum a tune or something. How are you? That's fine. That's as good an answer as any. Because you don't know. People feel compelled to answer sometimes. That's how we create know-it-alls. I have some friends and acquaintances. You ask them something, and they feel like they got to answer, even if they really don't know. And you think, why are you doing that to yourself? Why can't you just swim in a sea of questions? It's okay. It's all right. You just go ahead and float. You don't have to swim upstream. Only salmons who do that say, I got to reproduce. Salmon? I guess they're saying it to another salmon because why would I? I'm not listening. I don't know how to speak salmon. Do I? There's a question. Oh, I have nothing but questions. I had a dream the other day that I had been launched into space and I found a drifting spaceship. And
I boarded it. That's what they do in science fiction movies. I found an abandoned spaceship. I'm going to go on to it. But it wasn't an alien race. Nothing popping out of bellies or anything like that. No seeds. It was just two dead men. Barney and Junior from Far Out Space Nuts. You see, they had pressed launch. Not lunch. They didn't intend to press launch. They thought they were delivering food. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, they were out in space. And you can't survive like that. They didn't get... If you see the show, say, oh, they landed on planets with other creatures like Jim Neighbors. No, that was all part of their dying dream. They weren't really there. Oh, my goodness. Originally, Far Out Space Nuts was originally directed by Tarkovsky. And it was more like Solaris and everything. I don't know what's real and what's not real. Is this some kind of dream? Am I hallucinating? I don't know. I act as if I'm not, just in case, because you don't want to do that. Say, oh, I'm dreaming, and so I'm not going to bother with pants. No, go ahead and bother with pants. Even in my dreams, I'm self-conscious, because I think, well, maybe I need some of this. Maybe I need some of my anxiety. Do I need my anxiety? Yeah, see, in a form of a question. Oh, my friends, the reason I don't have any answers is, what if my answers are different than yours? Because I'm sure they are. Because if I ask myself, am I allergic to peanuts? No. But see, that's not your answer necessarily. We always find it difficult when somebody else has some answer that we don't share. And we think, well, that can't be. I'm a human being and I don't find that true. But it might be true for them. Because the only thing you can say about life is that we're experiencing something. It can't really be in someone else's head. Unless you shrink down very tiny. Perhaps in a submarine. And go into their ear. And you go and they get into their ear and you think, I'm just going to stay here. Because you know what? I don't need to journey into someone's bowels in a very tiny submarine. Why do I need to do that? When the ear is just a fine place to live. I've always said this. The ear is like a little cave in the side of a mountain. I'll imagine that I'm a holy man in Tibet. And then I'm sitting here looking. I'm sitting on a little seat that I made out of wax. I've taken the wax in your ear and I've sculpted it into different little tiny furniture. And now I'm sitting, I'm looking, and you move around. It's like a moving mountain. It's like I'm in a Japanese cartoon, but I'm not. I'm just a tiny little thing living in your ear. And I am a tiny little thing living in your ear because that's what radio is. You let me in to your brain. And hopefully it's a symbiotic relationship and not parasitic. I'm going to confess something. I've gotten a little hungry, and I took a little tiny bite of your brain, but I made sure it's a part you don't use. So much of your brain you don't use, it's a shame. Why not let your friends eat some of it? And that's what we do. I'm just going to take a little nibble. Next thing you know, your prefrontal cortex is gone. I say, well, I need that, because how am I going to have inhibitions? I know. Sometimes your inhibitions are necessary. Like I said, because you don't want to just run around with no pants. And other times, they're not necessary. Jazz improv. You want to abandon your self-consciousness sometimes. And I try, people who can turn it on and off, that's an amazing thing. Oh, and then they can improvise and they can just do stuff. How about you, Hardy? Are you self-conscious? Just intermittently. It's just like that. 1 second I am, 1 second I'm not. And so in the seconds I'm not, I try to come up with things to say, and then I say them, and in the seconds I am, I instantly have regret. But hey, I keep doing it anyway because I'm vacillating. Oh, I am everything is a wave. We know that now. You'll see the queen do that, say the little queen does that little wave. That's because she's made entirely, maybe, of waves or vibrating strings. We don't know. I'm not very good on the quantum level because I don't have the right instruments, really, to measure that. And I don't have math. A lot of people have math. I don't have any. I don't know where it is. I don't really remember. I did have another dream last night that I got back to my dorm room, and somebody else had moved in. And I said, what did you do with my stuff? This is my room. And they said, we threw it all away. And I said, threw it all away? And I got very angry. And then I thought, when I woke up, I thought, that's what's going to be like when I'm dead. Say, hey, I was living there. Where's all my stuff? Well, you were gone, so we got rid of it. What?
But I was coming back.
No, you're not, you darn ghost. And that's why ghosts a lot of times will choke you out in your sleep. And you think, well, that's... And then you have to call somebody. And the people I call. Nothing against Ghostbusters, but a lot of times... You know, you don't want to have to deal with those folks. So what do you do then? Never throw out the things that belong to the dead? Well, sometimes we keep things that belong to the dead that we shouldn't, like their ideas. Some of their ideas are good. Others are not. Well, like what are not? Oh, I don't know. The square wheel. Was that ever an idea? Did people immediately come up with an efficient wheel? Or did we go through lots of others? I watch cartoons for most of my information. And it seems to me that those ideas, somebody had a triangular wheel, then a square, and then finally they settled on the circle. Actually, they settled on a sort of egg shape, which was fun. Because you go up, they kind of go up and down like that. It's neat. Or you have one wheel that's bigger on one side, and you just go in a circle. Why? Where do you need to really get to? This show goes in a circle, doesn't it? It's more like a merry-go-round. You get on this. I'm going to get on this zebra. And one of the reasons you know that zebra probably won't take you anywhere is it's been impaled by a brass pole that goes right down its spine. You know it didn't survive that. So you get on this impaled zebra, frozen in time, and you go around a little circle. And back in the day, and I guess it's maybe 10, 20 years ago, I guess 100, you could reach out and grab a brass ring. And sometimes people would fall off, and they'd fall off, and they'd get sucked under the works into the merry-go-round. And you'd hear that. But it was worth it. And then I found out you have to give back the ring, which you don't get to keep it. And the one I saw, I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, why would you have to give it back? That's no fair. Keep it. It should be a reward. But, you know, brass, because, you know, we're at war, and we need brass for the... big brass airplanes that we fly. Or no, not that. I'm sorry, for sextants. If you don't have a sextant, you can't get where you're going. I know that from, I sailed around the world by myself in my imagination. And Barney and Junior, those are the far out space nuts. Did I mention that? They had names. You say, oh, the far out space nuts are dead. But yeah, it's Barney and Junior. They're actual people. And now, actually, both of the Chuck McCann and Bob Denver are no longer with us. So even the actors are gone. So that's just a distant memory. Oh, my goodness, our memories. Are they real? Do you misremember? Do you have memories that aren't really based on anything? I'm sure I do, and I'm sure I say them all the time. Just the other day, a friend posted something about an event that happened, I'm thinking maybe 15 years ago, maybe 13, I don't know, something like that. And she mentioned a detail of it, and I won't tell you what it was all about because the context will make it less entertaining. But she said, oh yes, and Hardy wore a gorilla suit, and I didn't. And she remembered that I did, but I actually didn't. I just acted like a monkey. What was this event? I can't tell you. I don't want to tell you, because actually that's the part that I don't remember. But I'm absolutely positive that I did not put the gorilla suit on, because I remember the odor. It's terrible, and it's a friend's gorilla suit, and he uses it for all sorts of things. And yeah, that day I didn't have it on. But then I'm pretty sure that other people then remembered that thing. So you know, I'm positive that's the way it happened. Yeah, isn't that funny? And you'll see that. You know, you can misremember something as a group. And I've seen it happen over and over again. And you can forget things as a group. Oh, that's why sometimes we need to be reminded. I'm here to remind you. I'm here as a constant, horrible reminder. Oh, I'm a ghost. I visit you not just on Christmas, but on Tu B'Shavat. And all. I don't care. When I visit Purim, but I'm going to come to you and I'm going to say, remember all the things you did when you were young that you're embarrassed about. Oh, do you ever do that? Just sigh. Sometimes I'll do that. I'll be sitting around thinking about the past and I'll just go, oh, like that, about something I did. But, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. And a lot of times
it's something I've changed about myself. I no longer feel so. What's the point of being ashamed? That's like having a symptom of a disease you no longer have. So you don't have to worry about that. I ate that bad piece of food so long ago, the diarrhea is over now. If there's now there's new diarrhea, it's going to have a different cause. But I don't need to run to the toilet just because I was rude to somebody 20 years ago. Just because I yelled at somebody in traffic and I'm ashamed of myself now, I don't have to grab an extra roll of toilet paper for the soul. That's a song. I'm pretty sure that's a song. Eels? I don't know. Something like that. But oh my gosh, it's poetic, isn't it? A lot of things all have in the body have a correlation in the mind as well, right? We say, oh, I have a mind palace or a mind, I have a mind duplex. I'm renting out half. This is the way I've done it in my mind. I have a mind duplex. I live in one part of it and then I rent out part of it to my enemies. And they live in there, and I can hear them over there going, oh, God, why am I letting them live in my head? But like, unlike the expression, I am not letting them live there rent-free. Oh, they're paying rent. Ultimately, they're paying to be there. And it's nice to have them in there, but I can't quite hear what they're saying, and I resist the temptation to put a cup against that wall and put my ear against that wall and hear clearly what they're saying. But I know they're there because that's how I keep track of them. Enemies? You have enemies? I have enemies in theory, not necessarily literal people. Sometimes they're just things that people do that become my enemies. My enemies are the quality of human beings that would divide us from one another, the quality of human beings that would exert so much power over somebody, it would step on the weak and the helpless, that it would exploit others. Those are my enemies, and if I can separate that from an actual human being, I will, because I don't want to condemn a fellow human being. I would rather that they change. Oh, can everybody be redeemed? Can everybody be changed? No, I don't believe that. Some of us will go to our grave filled with wickedness. Others will wake up. Because perhaps that wickedness was inspired by a fear of being abandoned, a fear of not being loved, saying, I don't want to leave this group that now accepts me. Granted, the group is absolutely horrible, and they do horrible things to themselves and others, but should I leave that group, I will be alone in the wilderness, and I cannot take being alone, and I would rather be in some kind of Chuck E. Cheese filled with the evil people than be alone in the parking lot. Or like my dream about being in an abandoned mall by myself. I don't want to be there. But let me tell you something. Sometimes we have to go into the no man's land. Now, what is that? Now, in World War I, it was trench warfare. They would dig trenches. And between the trenches, you'd have two sides, right? So let's say the Germans and the British. Now, I know this from Blackadder. And then that area in the beginning, called in the middle, is called no man's land. It's the wilderness. You go in there, you get shot. But this isn't that type of no man's land. Let's say you don't get shot. Let's say you're just alone. And you say, I don't want to leave this trench full of people and go out here and be alone in the wilderness. But what I'm telling you is that there might be, if you keep going, a village. And in that village are a different type of people. A people who don't want to bring you down or exploit you. Who share your values of love or justice, of not being a bully or not exploiting the weak. You understand? Of humility. People who can say, maybe I'm wrong. People have a hard time saying that, I notice. Maybe I'm wrong. Because they'd rather be right. So I know I'm right. You are the fool. In fact, not only are you a fool, you're evil. Well, wait. Hang on now. You want to hear me out? No, I already know what I believe. All right, so you will not let me pass that wall. You have erected a wall.
Is it out of fear? No, I don't fear you. I just hate you.
A lot of people say that, too. So I have a hard time communicating to people that their hate may be driven by fear because they feel fearless because they're surrounded by that group.
Oh, they want to break away. They don't want to be alone. That's like dogs. You know dogs pack. So, oh, that puppy's so sweet when it's by itself.
I'm just a little scrappy puppy.
All right, little scrappy puppy.
Yeah, all right.
But then you run in, you'd be walking down the street and say, hey, scrappy puppy, I know you.
And yeah, I'm scrappy puppy, what of it?
And so, whoa, what's going on?
Do you know this guy?
Thanks, Lou.
No problem. I'm the big mean dog.
I know. And Scrappy Puppy would go,
yeah, I know this guy. He's a real loser.
And say, well, Scrappy Puppy, what are you doing? When it's just you and I, we're friends. But here you're all surrounded by these big, tough other dogs, and you're acting differently towards me. Now I feel like you're all going to maybe attack me.
Yeah, we are.
What? Oh, if I could just separate all the dogs from the pack individually and look at them and say, look, you're a good dog. You don't need to pack up like that. You don't need to rip me apart for food. I'll give you the kibbles. Here's a bowl of kibbles. I'm going to dish it out to you. Don't worry about it. Oh, you don't have to worry about me. I am harmless. I'm Hardy Watt. I'm not a threat to anybody. Oh, no. How can I be subversive? I'm just uttering nonsense. Nonsense. This fella's on the radio rambling on about nothing. I'm rambling on about nothing. When people tune in, they see nothing. It's like on them kung fu movies. Say, oh, the kung fu man is dressed up as an old person. Why is he doing that? Why is he dressed up as an old helpless beggar? Well, that's because if he wasn't, people might see him as a threat. If you went around dressed like a big tough guy, people are going to pick fights for you. You can't really get on with your mission because you're advertising. Oh, if you're advertising, people are going to come up and challenge you. But if you just walk around with humility, people don't think you're a threat. And they will let you in. I'll let in that old elderly beggar. Look at it. For instance, Snow White. Right? Snow White is minding her own business. Now, the queen wants her... I feel like this is an Andy Griffith record. What it was football. You ever hear his... Drop my big orange drink. So, here I'm going to do my country bumpkin impression of Snow White. So Snow White, she's at home just minding her own business, making pies one day. She's living with the little men, right? So who are miners and who aren't unionized, I don't think. They might own the mine. It's not clear. I worry about their safety. And they're gem mining anyway. They're not coal miners, I don't think. I think they're mining gems or something. I gotta look into it. But they're all out to work, and she's at home. They're letting her stay there rent-free, so I guess she's doing chores and making food and everything. That seems equitable. So she's there, and she's cooking and everything, and the queen wants her dead for I don't know what reason, because she's attractive, which has not made a lot of sense to me. So the queen dresses up as an ugly beggar woman and comes by and says, making pies. And Snow White goes, yeah, why are you talking? You're talking to me through my kitchen window. That's a little weird. And then she says, the little men are not here. And she says, no, I'm all alone. Don't ever do that. All security professionals would tell you, if somebody comes by dressed as an old witch or something, don't say you're all alone. So, no, the little men are here and they're all armed. They're all concealed carry like pickaxes. So she says, no, I'm alone. I'm making pies. And the old witch says, well, I'm selling them poison apples. Would you like some poison apples for your pie? And Snow White, I guess she doesn't hear the word poison. And she says, yes, I want one of them apples. And so now if the queen had showed up wearing all her regalia and said, I'm here selling poison. I'm not even selling poison apples. I don't need the money. I'm the queen. For gosh sakes, I got a magic mirror. Snow White might have been inclined to say no. No, thank you. I feel like this is a trick because you're a monarch. I don't know if I can trust you.
I don't know if I can trust. I know that in the movies, a lot of times the monarchs are weak, you know, and they're nuts and they have blue urine. But I think real monarchs are a little sharper and maybe a little crueler and everything than we see in the motion pictures. Motion picture shows. All right? And so the Snow White monarch is a little closer to the truth. What country is it? Oh, really? I don't know. I always thought it was Eastern Europe, maybe. I don't know. That's a good question. What country does Snow White take place in? I can't tell by the outfits. I don't know what period it is. Germany. It looks like everything looks like Germany. You know, and I think a lot of those fairy tales are German in origin. So I don't know. That's just guessing. I don't know. Where do they have little men who mine gems? I don't really know much about the world. And I don't know much about mineral resources and everything like that. I have so many questions. Sometimes those questions last long enough that I could look up an answer. Other times they dissipate like gas or a cloud. I've gone away. My question has evaporated. I waited too long. Other questions endure like kidney stones. I gotta get this question out. I'm gonna have to get in a hot tub and I'm gonna have to chew on a rag. And I'm gonna have to pass this question. There it is. Oh, it felt a lot bigger, that question. It's just a tiny little pebble. But if that tiny little pebble's coming out your metaphorical urethra, you're gonna feel it. And some questions nag at us, like what happens when you die? I don't know, or after you die. Well, when you die, that's not up for debate, I guess. It's afterwards what happens. Depends on your perspective. What happens from your perspective? Not clear. Haven't gone through it. What happens from my perspective? I got to clean out your stuff, I guess. Well, I guess there's body. Got to figure out what to do with your body. I don't know. You didn't say. You should have said. You should have left some instructions or something. Sometimes people leave instructions that are impossible. Say, I want to tie balloons to me and float my body up into... I can't do that. I don't think that's allowed. It's going to... What goes up comes down. And nobody wants corpses just dropping on you willy-nilly like that. So a lot of times... Also, cemeteries are just beautiful, aren't they? One time when I was a young man, I went out to a party. And I came home... I guess I had told my mother I was going to stay the night, and then the people said, no, you can't. But it was too late to go home. So I lived next door to a cemetery. And I got as far as the cemetery, and I decided I will just stay the night in the cemetery. So there was a cemetery, and there's a mausoleum, and there's like a little field, and then there was the neighborhood where I lived. So I said, well, I'll just stay in this little field. I'll kind of huddle up and everything. And for a while, I walked around the mausoleum. I guess there was no security. A lot of times, there's not security in cemeteries because there's nothing to take. And this is one of the new ones. This wasn't kind of an old one with above-ground headstones. The newer ones have the headstones are... down on the ground so they can mow over them. That's exactly why they do it. It's a weed eater free environment, and they can just take the rider mower and literally roll over your grave in it, and it's no problem, right? And just cut the grass like that. So they say no above ground monuments, only the flat kind. And it was one of those cemeteries, so from a distance you couldn't even tell it was a cemetery, really. So I walked through the mausoleum, which just looks like a rich person's house. And I just read the names, you know, I'd walk by and I'd read the names. I remember there was one particular combination of names. There was the George family next to the Harrison family. So it just said George Harrison. And they hadn't been buried yet. Some of the people just put their names on it in anticipation of being dead. So I'm going to buy it now, put my surname up there so people know that's where I'm going to, that's my future address. And then when I do die, I will have someone write the date on there. It won't be me. So I walked around the mausoleum for a while, and I thought, you know, there's actual people in here. Well, no, they're not really people. There's actual corpses in here, and I'm surrounded by human remains and skeletonized remains and putrefying bodies and everything like that. And that, you know, that can't help but disconcert one.
And so I left the mausoleum. I thought, I don't know, that's not my kind of... It was like one of those Japanese hotels of the dead. You know, there's Japanese hotels where the room is just coffin size, and you crawl in there, there's a little TV and everything. And it was like that, except no one comes out again, right? And so I went back into the field, and it was beginning to be a little bit chilly. And so I thought, well, I better light a fire. And so I had a lighter with me because I had one of those cigars that teenagers, there was no pod in it or anything. It was like a swisher, but without anything in it. It wasn't a blunt or anything. It was just a nasty grape flavored cigar. I thought it was cool or something. So I had a lighter on me and I said, I'll light a little fire. And I found some stuff. And I lit it, and it was some kind of polyester netting or something. I don't even know what they use it for, to wrap coffins in. And it made this toxic smoke, and it choked me. It smelled awful. And so I put it out, and then I heard there's a little patch of woods there, and I heard something kind of making a funny animal sound. And I saw these eyes shining at me. And I'm pretty sure it was a bobcat. There was bobcats around there. And I thought, this is really unpleasant. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this so I won't upset my mother. Because I'm afraid if I came home now, she'd be really angry with me. But more than that, I was not afraid of the anger as much as her being upset with me. But I thought, well, what's more worrisome than your child spending the night in a cemetery poisoning itself with toxic smoke? So I may have wandered home. I guess it was by the time the light started coming up, I thought, well, now I'll just go home and say, oh, they wanted me home early because they were headed to church. That might have been on a Saturday. I guess, Mom, I don't know. And I got back in my bed and I thought about that night I spent in the cemetery. I know I was never scared of ghosts or anything like that. I've never been scared of ghosts. I've always thought, well, you know, I'll just treat them like I would anybody. If there is a ghost, I'll just imagine that I see the living as ghosts a lot of times, too. I see they're spirits, and they're animating something. So at least I can see them. I guess it's the not knowing when they bump stuff over in the night. What was that? And you don't want to just, you know, take your defensive, like I got a Tai Chi sword in case there's a ghost tries to attack me. I don't know if that'll work. I'm not sure. I guess it's for my own peace of mind, really, because I know that they don't really work against ghosts. I don't know what works against my own fears. I have to come up with something, some kind of weapon. What do I do? Well, I think I conceal carry a feeling of belonging in the universe, a feeling that I can relax into nothing, into oblivion, that I rose out of this thing, whatever it is, this chaos, this nothingness, this strange place that I took some sort of form, and then I started to accumulate information and stored it in the form of memories, and then that will eventually dissipate somehow, that it's I've stored my memories in a meat computer. Now, I don't know how practical that is. I think if it was probably done on some kind of mineral or something, it might last a little longer. But no, I have stored my memories electrically in meat. And I know that that can't last. And I know that that is what constitutes me. And I know that that's probably all there is of me. And that when the meat rots and the electricity dissipates, that information will also dissipate, but that is why I have put it all down in the form of choke. Why am I choking? Why am I choking on that? Am I telling a lie? Is that some kind of Freudian cough? Is my phlegm in some sort of conspiracy to keep me honest? Perhaps. Perhaps it is. But I'm going to say it anyway. I put it down in the form of a show. I have dumped all my memories and information, all my impressions into my miracle nutrition. Because that's how I see it, as miracle nutrition. And I put it all in there.
And it's, you can retrieve it. Say, is that all there is to Hardy? Is that all there is? It might in fact be all there is to me. That you can just listen to this thing, listen to this radio show, tune in these episodes, and you will experience me, a human being, in all aspects of myself. You say, well, that literally that can't be. Why can't there that be all there is? You know? Well, I'm sure if I was with you, Hari, in real life, there'd be so much more. Would there, though? Like what? So what do you want to get to eat? Oh, I don't know. Anywhere's fine. How about a salad? I mean, being in my presence, I'm not going to really impart any more information. It's probably going to be recycled things I've already said. I've already repeated myself countless times. I'm almost out of stories. If you were to say, tell me the story of your life, I'm convinced I already have. Other things would just be details that you could just make up. And you know what? I'm going to forget a lot of those things too. So how is that me if I don't even remember them? Who am I? I do know this. I'll tell you something. That we are all experiencing something. And that pain is real. Oh, it is real. And it changes everything. Physical pain. Emotional pain. Hunger is real. Loneliness is real. Fear. A child abandoned, lonely, without his parents. The fear is real. It's powerful and awful. And it ruins everything. Oh, yes, it does. And if you want to keep that out of yourself, you got to keep it out of the world. So if you want to keep pain out of yourself, you got to keep it out of others, too. If you want a disease to be cured that you may have, you got to want it cured in others. And if you want loneliness to be not part of your experience, you have to make it not part of others. Oh, yes, we all fight these things. They exist in life whether we are here or not. We come into this world, and it already has demons and angels existing here. They jump from one person to the other. Oh, yes, you can call them what they are. That's what they are. You can call them demons and angels. What are they really? Well, they're like the original meme, not meme like, oh, that's a fella laughing because he thinks something's absurd and it's got some words on it. Not like that, but like thought genes, you know, ideas, persistent ideas. And they live here in life without us. They need us, but they don't need any specific person. And those demons and angels live here, and we got to come and we got to fight them. Yes, well, we don't have to fight the angels necessarily. We could let them in. Come on, angels. I'm going to let you in, but some people don't let them in, you see? So I don't want that angel in here, because if that angel comes in, I'll start feeling what other people feel. I don't want that. I like my demons keeping me safe and strong. Is it? Is it? Is it? Or is it eating away at you? Is it living in your brain, taking a little bite every single day? Just like me, I'm taking a little bite out of it, but I'm leaving something too. I'm recycling. I may eat some of your brain, but then I digest it. And I take the waste and I stick it back in the spot where the brain was. I'm sorry, I know that's disgusting. I hate to do that to you, but I don't know any other way. I feel like it's a sort of recycling. I don't know whether you can make thoughts course through that. But you can give it a try. Oh my goodness, what's the whole purpose of everything? There you go. I don't know. Here comes the answer. I love listening, though, to people spout answers. You can get that a lot of times. Tune into anything, any philosophical, religious or something, tapes or YouTube channels or something. And there are people that have all the dang answers. It's absolutely beautiful. They have a complete, utter worldview. And you say, this is amazing. They speak with such confidence. How could they have that kind of confidence if it wasn't true? That just, it amazes me. And if they don't have any doubt like I do, then they're somehow superior, aren't they? Oh my goodness, I better listen to them. Oh yes, and you become convinced. Then you think, well, gosh, maybe I'm lesser than because I don't have those. How did they get those answers? I will follow them. I will do what they say. I will use the same beads. I will use the same bath salts. I will eat the same foods. I will sit in the same posture. And if I do that, then I will be like them and I will absorb the confidence they have, which absolutely could be psychopathy. But you don't know. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's absolutely real. Maybe they're not just narcissists or something? Maybe they really are gurus. I don't know. Oh, my goodness. If you can teach me something and I can use it for a practical purpose, that's fine. I like that. So if you can show me how to make bread and I can go make the identical bread, that's wonderful. But if you're showing me how to make bread and you say you'll never make bread like me because I have become a bread master. Or another thing that I find is that some people would like to jump right to teacher. I'm like that too. Gosh, I'd love it. I'd love to not have to know anything to master something before teaching, because I love the respect and love that comes from when somebody thinks you're a teacher, have some knowledge. I love that. I'd love to be a master, a teacher, or something like that. But the fact is that I have not studied anything long enough. I do not have the experience to do that. I can only teach in the way that friends share something with you. Say, I don't know much, but I can show you how to change a tire. And then I'll show you, and you will know exactly the same amount as I do. And then maybe the rest we can learn together. I don't know. My friends, I just want to be next to you, not in front of you. And I want to be behind you if I know that I can come up next to you after being behind you for a while, or that it's a line and then I'm going to be next in line and we're all going to get on the ride and I'm going to get on the ride and we're going to enjoy it and I'm going to see the same things as you do. And there's going to be little statues of children waving and there's going to be music and then we'll get off the ride and I'm going to say, I think I'm going to ride it again, but I don't have any tickets. And you say, well, even if you did have tickets, let's just go get something to eat. What do you want? And I say, a salad. That's the way we live our lives. Oh, I want to be your friend. I hope that we're friends. You don't need just one kind of friend. You need a variety of friends. When you go to a restaurant and you say, I want to have chef's choice or something, it's going to be a variety of sashimi. Well, I don't really eat the raw fish. Well, okay, well, what do you want a variety of? Radishes. I want to get the radish variety. But it's still going to be Chef Joyce. Will you like all of them? The purple radish didn't do much for me, but the white radish was nice. Oh, yes. You like that? I do. I do like it. And this one I didn't, but I need all of them. How would I know what I like and don't like, what works for me? And yes, I let them all in. Oh, I want to be some variety of fruit or vegetable that you get to taste on a tasting tray. They've got flights, whiskey flights, cheese flights. Cheese flights. Do they have cheese flights? That's when you're on a... I'll tell you, that's a separate story. But I want to be a flight like that, a tasting flight for you. So I'm going to try this here, this speaker over here and this speaker here. The middle one is hearty. Okay, let me see. You swirl it around. To release the aroma, you swirl me. And then... what is that? Is it canoe? No, I don't know. It's probably just my... It might be the new... I'm using new face cream and scrub. I've got this Korean white clay face scrub that I'm using that's really helping with my bad skin. And then I have a face cream. I don't want to say the brands, but it might be that. It's probably a combination of the... A lot of them are not scented, though, because that doesn't help my skin or anything. But I don't know. I don't know what you're smelling. But I hope it's pleasant. I don't want to smell too stinky. But then again, I don't want to deny that people have an odor. Oh, we all have an odor. All of us. We all have an odor. And you have to overlook it a little bit. I have all sorts of friends, and they all have some kind of quirks or some kind of what I call behavioral odor. And I overlook it. Because what do I expect? What do I want? A robot friend? A sterile robot friend that smells like lavender? No. I don't want, maybe cinnamon? No. Leather? I don't know. Describe the robot friend more. You open up the robot friend's back and there's like all this, there's a tool set. There's a socket set and there's all these screwdrivers and little needle nose pliers and all kinds of fine tools and everything. Really? Oh, yes. You're making this robot friend sound mighty appealing. I can't compete with that. I am just an ordinary person. And I hope that you've let me into your life a little bit. I want to be there. I am not a preacher. I don't know much about... I don't know much philosophy. Don't know much philosophy. Don't know much about philonomy. I just remember the French I took. And I took that French, And I ran with it, and I said, I'm not bringing the French back. And they said, you have to bring it back. And I said, I can't. I don't remember any of it. So I'm just going to take it with me. I only have questions, right? So I don't know. I don't know how to say much in French anymore. I've forgotten a little bit. Je voudrais acheter un saxo. I would like to buy a saxophone. I don't really need one. I don't know why I would say that. That's misleading. A sabot. I need a shoe. Just one? Okay, if that's what I said, then yes, just one shoe. I'm just buying one shoe today because I don't want to admit that I made a mistake. Don't do that. Don't end up walking out of a French shoe shop with just one shoe because you were afraid to embarrass yourself. If that's not right, speak up. Say, Hardy, I don't want to leave here with one shoe on my foot like Cinderella. Walking a glass slipper, nothing worse, nothing more dangerous. It's probably something more dangerous than a glass slipper. It seems crazy. I did a little research, and they're actually Lucite, which is a lot stronger and very expensive. So Lucite slippers, and they're not slippers, they're high-heeled dress shoes. You slip them on, so I guess they're slippers, but they're not really like, we'd think like bedroom slippers. They're not glass bedroom slippers. That's absurd, isn't it? That's absurd. There's a popular band that has like Dream something in the name. Like they're all fluffy. My granny used to have ones like that. They're kind of puffy. They're made of terry cloth on the top or something. And then they got these kind of rubber but puffy soles. And she put in her swollen old lady feet in those and shuffled around. It was beautiful. I miss her. But had they been made of glass or even plexiglass, I don't think they would have been of any use to her. So sometimes it's better to have a terry cloth and rubber shoe that fits than something fancy that doesn't feel so good. I want to be that for you. A comfortable slipper or some pair of underwear that's kind of, that the waistband maybe is lost its stretchy, but that's good because it no longer doesn't dig into your waist. I say, well, it doesn't actually give me any, I don't feel like I got anything on at all. Isn't that marvelous? That I could be a pair of panties that feels like they're not even there. I dream about that, but not really though. Now that I'm thinking about it, I shouldn't have said that because that's not really what I meant. Maybe a sock or something, a comfortable sock, instead of the kind that when you take it off, you say, look, there's a sock has been there. It's left a dent in my foot. I see it. I want a sock that when I take it off, you can't even tell I've had a sock on at all. That's what I want to be for you. I want to slip onto your swollen foot at 7 o'clock, and then at 8 o'clock, when you take it off and you put on the Kevin Nutt footy, that you don't see it. You don't see any trace of the Hardy White, support hose, it stands for. I suppose it does. I don't know. And I will never know. And I will leave here not knowing. And you could say, well, that's very unsatisfying. Is it? Is it? I ask questions even when I think I do have the answers just to keep in practice because I don't want to get content. I don't want to rest on them. I don't want to rest on laurels. Do you ever see an actual laurel? They're not to be rested on. It's uncomfortable. That's why you don't rest on them. No. I've no award that I have gotten. Could I ever rest? First of all, I've never gotten an award. But if I did get an award, I'm not going to rest on it. All my past accomplishments, if I had any, I would not rest on them. Now, once I get one, I don't know, I might. God, what award could I possibly get? I don't do anything that really... I guess I could win something. Maybe if I start volunteering for an organization after 20 years, they'd say, we're going to give you an award if you promise to stop coming. All right, thank you. It's time to retire. Retire from my volunteer gig? Yeah. I think if I was actually a docent, that would happen.
Say, we just, we want to thank you for 2.5 years of fantastic service, Hardy.
Well, really, I was planning on doing this a little longer.
No, I think that's good. But that's good. We don't want you to overgive. And we have just really super enjoyed your volunteer work. And now we'd love you to go on and do something better that you do want to do, like maybe retail. So we thank you. We have a little certificate made up. We have this little plastic cup we're going to give you. And it's a loving cup, not the protective kind, but I guess you could use it to protect yourself. Hold it up, and it's not that big. It's very tiny. It's almost like the joke size one that they give out, like at the golf club, when they say, "This is for Tom who can't hit straight." It's not one of those. But listen, thank you so much for your service. Goodbye. And I'm sure that would be okay, I think. Even if it was a hint to leave, if it was in the form of an award, I'd have something to be proud of. Are you proud of anything? I'm going to say proud. I don't know if I'm proud of anything that I've done. But I am. There's lots of things that I'm not, I don't have horrible regrets for. And that's a sort of pride, maybe. I'm thankful for a lot. I'm very thankful. Because listen, you know, like I said, I'm downloading my life into audio form. I'm making friends because I desire that. I want, above all, to not be lonely. And I want to connect with people who share my values of standing up for the weak or for kindness. Oh, kindness. I've been shown so much of it. I'm just such a cheerleader for it. I can't tell you how transformative it is, how much it makes life better. In the face of pain, even kindness can sometimes break through. When you think pain is eradicating anything, everything, emotional, physical pain, sometimes kindness is this one thing that can kind of peek through. When you're in total darkness, you hear that, what is that? That's kindness cutting through the darkness. And it's happened to me, and it makes me feel the most alive. It makes me feel good, loved, without fear, fearless. A fearless questioner. That's all I want to be. I just want to open my eyes, metaphorically or literally. And I want to take in some information. I want to experience things because experience is the only thing I'm sure of. That I'm feeling things. Can't be sure of what I know, but I can be sure I'm feeling things. And I know that you're feeling things too. And I want to keep track of what I make you feel so that I make things better and not worse. I'm so grateful that we're together. Oh, my friends. Who are ye? I don't know exactly. But the show is called Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York. And online at WFMU.org worldwide. I am so thankful for you. And I am thankful for this radio station. I am thankful for the shows before and after and their incredible music and all the other things that expands our minds and makes us feel not so alone. Thank you, my friends and listeners, and I will see you again and join you again next week. At the same time, right here, you can count on it. I'm not going to say the time.
Why?
Don't know why. All right, here's the music for the next show.